Everybody's posting their Spotify Wrapped today, December 1st, when it dropped. Let me guess your top five artists. I'm going to go Drake, 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 and Drake.
Pretty close. I mean, Drake is the GOAT, first of all. And second of all, it's just, I have like all of his, you know, songs and albums saved. And when I'm in my car, it just goes on shuffle. And there's a good chance a Drake song is going to pop up, you know, every one to three songs. So It's pretty easy to have Drake as your top listen to artist. But on a serious note, my top five is Drake, Lana Del Rey, Lil Baby, Juice WRLD, and then Future, you know, rounds out my top five. And some of my most listened to songs, though, are Lana Del Rey songs, because she's just my guilty pleasure, you know, just so good.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, I'm more of a Billie Eilish guy myself. You know, she's all over my top songs. Happier Than Ever, that's my shit. But Drake is also my top artist. I can't even hold you. How could he not be? You know, how could he not be everybody's top artist?
Yeah, it's hard to not have him, especially when, like, you just put random playlists on Spotify, like on shuffle or whatever. Like, a lot of the playlists are made up of either Drake songs or features that have Drake that I think count towards you know, the artist that you listen to. You know, features count. This man just reigns supreme, and I think a majority of the population, or the majority of Spotify users, probably have Drake as their number one artist. I think he would be the clear-cut number one if you know, just looked at the stats.
Yeah, it's probably either him or like Taylor Swift or something like that. Any surprises when you were looking through your thing? I was surprised that Baby Keem was in my top five artists. I was bumping that album.
No, I mean, Lana Del Rey too, pretty predictable. If you know me, I love Lana Del Rey. She's my guilty pleasure, like I said. Just very like calming music that she makes. So I like to listen to rap and hip hop early in the day, and then late at night when, you know, I'm just trying to vibe out, go to sleep, throw some Lana Del Rey on, and there's nothing better, to be honest. But other than that, I mean, 58,000 minutes of music listened to for me, pretty high, more than 94% of Spotify users.
Yeah, that's more than double what I had.
So maybe I should cut it down a little bit, but I'm always listening to music, so.
What was your number one podcast on Spotify?
So, I really only listened to one podcast on Spotify this year, and that was the DFS Dose. Let's go.
Hey, let's go. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 184 of the DFS Dose podcast, your fix of daily fantasy sports information, strategy, and analysis. I'm your host, Ben Hauver, joined as I always am by Joey Carrion. And on today's show, we're going to be breaking down week 13 in the NFL from a DraftKings perspective. Going to talk some slate specifics, what the Vegas lines are telling us about the week, talk a little bit of chalk, of course, leverage stacks and long shots. Everything you need to know to have a good chance at banking a tournament this week. If you're new to the podcast and like what you hear, you can support us by subscribing on whatever podcast platform you use, whether that be Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or Podcast Addict. You can also find us on YouTube at the DFS Dose, where we produce fantasy content all week, every week, and live stream on Saturdays. Finally, our Discord channel is open and available. The link to join that is in the description to the podcast. Joey, how you doing, man? Ready for a week 13 that hopefully ends with us shipping a couple of tournaments?
Yeah, I'm definitely ready. Definitely don't know about shipping a couple tournaments, but we're going to try our best. And hopefully we can get a W.
Yeah, I mean, this is a super interesting slate, as we'll get to in a minute here. In terms of Vegas notes, this is an 11-game main slate with 7 games early and 4 games in the afternoon. There are 2 games this week with totals of 50 or above. We've got Bucks at Falcons and Chargers at Bengals. The top 5 implied team totals on the week, we've got Tampa 30.75, the Rams 30.25, Colts at 27.25, Arizona at 27, and then Minnesota and Cincinnati tied with 26.75. Joey, what stands out to you this week from a Vegas perspective?
Yeah, I think what stands out to me is we're going to get a better week than last week. I think there are some more spots to target this week. We get some of the better offenses back on the main slate, like the Rams. The Cardinals guys should be back, so they should be in play against the Bears. And there is a lot of projected blowouts, I would say. You know, you have the Rams as 13-point favorites. Bucks are 11-point favorites. The Colts are 9.5-point favorites. The Cardinals are 8-point favorites. So definitely going to have to work through that with the blowout risk that some of these teams face. But should be a fun slate this week.
Should be. And we'll definitely talk about a couple of those spreads at the end of the show when we get to our best bets. A couple of those really stand out to me. In terms of the highest owned running backs on this slate, I think that Jonathan Taylor is the clear-cut standout option. He is priced at $9,200 going up against Houston. The last time he played him, he put up 145 yards, scored 2 touchdowns, and this is just an absolute smash spot for JT.
Yeah, I mean, not much needs to be said about JT. He's the new CMC, and he's going to give you 20-plus pretty much every single week. Really, the only question is, can we fit him and do we have to play him with the amount of value that we have at the running back position this week? So right now, I think my lean would be trying to fit him in, and this is looking like it's going to be a 3-running back week as well. So play 2 running backs with JT just because he's going to project very, very well, and the Texans are the second worst run defense in the NFL. So my lean right now is to try and jam him in and move on from there.
Yeah, the question isn't whether or not he's a good play, because that's obvious. It's just a matter of whether or not you need to go up there, because we have some really, really solid options at the running back position this week. We've got Joe Mixon at home in a projected shootout against the Chargers, who we just saw got ran through by Denver last week. We have Alexander Mattison going up against Detroit, which is just a crazy smash spot. You know, there was a game earlier in the year where Dalvin was out and Madison played against the Lions, had 25 attempts and 7 targets, which he caught all of, put up 113 yards. It was a 30-point spot. So we get to run that back against Detroit this week. And then we've got some really strong value as well with Eli Mitchell and Antonio Gibson in a spot where we expect J.D. McKissick to miss. So I don't know. It's hard to really figure out where the priorities are. What's your lean as far as some of these other guys that stand out?
Yeah, so just looking at the top and discussing Mixon and Madison, I think right now, early in the week, I would prefer Madison for 500 less, just because I think we could project for the same amount of, you know, rushing volume between the two backs. And I think Madison is going to project a little bit better in terms of receiving work when no Dalvin Cook there this week. And the matchup is great going up against the Detroit Lions. And, you know, you mentioned it, he busted them earlier in the season. And the Lions are giving up 0.08 more fantasy points than the Chargers on the ground. So both pretty bad defenses. You're getting a $500 discount. So my lean there would be Madison for cash games. And then talking about the guys at the bottom of the running back pool, Eli Mitchell and Antonio Gibson definitely stand out this week. Mitchell 6K, Gibson is 5,700. I kind of want to play both of them because I think both of them are going to project very well. They're both in great spots against two of the worst run defenses in the NFL and two of the worst defenses in terms of running back points allowed on DraftKings. And they both can factor into the receiving game, as we saw this past week. So in cash, I kind of want to play those two and play JT right now. But Madison is a great play. Mixon is a great play. I don't know. It's tough. And then I also think Jamal Williams with no DeAndre Swift is a pretty fine play as well. He's 5,400. He's going to project pretty nicely. And I think I still would prefer Gibson and Mitchell above him. But if you really needed the savings, I could see going down to Jamal Williams.
Yeah, to me, the difference between Williams and the two guys that we mentioned in Gibson and Mitchell is just that, you know, both Gibson and Mitchell have 30 touch upside. I don't think Jamal Williams has that really in any circumstance, but we just saw Antonio Gibson have a 29 attempt game and 7 targets when McKissick went out, and Mitchell, as well, as coming off of a pair of big rushing games, 27 attempts in each of his last 2 and 6 targets last week. So right now, I kind of agree with you as to what you said with Madison. I think Madison is a better play than Mixon because of his receiving role. As we've seen in the games that Dalvin missed this year, he's had massive workloads as a pass catcher, 8 targets and 7 targets, which is just a lot more than we would expect from Mixon on a weekly basis. And I think that while Mitchell did get a lot of pass game usage last week, I think Gibson's would be a lot more secure. So he would be my lean between those two players, but they're all really solid. And I think, you know, this is a week where you could run Gibson, Mitchell, and Madison and not even get up to JT, but yep. We'll have to see how ownership shakes out and what the value with the other positions are, I think.
Yep, I definitely agree, but I think that's pretty much the core for cash games this week. A lot of good running back plays. I would say there's, 6 to 8 cash game viable running backs this week, so going to be a interesting week for cash.
Definitely. I mean, in other weeks, we would probably consider guys like Boston Scott with Miles Sanders unlikely to play, maybe Sony Michel with Daryl Henderson injured. Do you have any interest in those guys, or is it just too thin with all these other standout plays?
Yeah, I think you just don't have to go there because we have, you know, 3 viable running backs, 6K and under. So playing Boston Scott over, you know, Jamal Williams or Antonio Gibson just seems bad from a floor and ceiling perspective and a cash game perspective. But he is going up against the worst run defense in the NFL, the New York Jets, and Miles Sanders, I think, might miss this game. And then you also combine that with Jalen Hurts is dealing with an ankle injury, so maybe they limit his rushing attempts a bit in this spot. Or if he doesn't even play, then it's going to be a Gardner Minshew led offense where we could see Scott handle a lot of rushing opportunity. So at 4600, I think he is in play, but I don't necessarily think that, you know, he's a cash game lock in. I definitely think he's worse than the guys that we just talked about.
Yeah, perhaps a GPP pivot, and we can just transition to quarterback here. I think it's really sort of dependent on this Jalen Hurts thing, because Hurts is looking, you know, like one of the best plays on the slate at 7K against the Jets, but it's hard, I think, to trust him. If he's even limited as a rusher, that really takes a lot of his value away for a player you're paying 7K for. And if he sits, Gardner Minshew priced all the way down at 4K in a plus matchup, I think would be super interesting. But there's some other guys that are, you know, going to look good. Lamar Jackson at 7,800 is going to project well as always, but he's had a couple of bad games. So I don't know if we're going to be paying all the way up there. And then, you know, Herbert and Burrow in the shootout of the week both look interesting as well.
Yeah, I think if Hurts was healthy, he would be the cash game quarterback for sure, and definitely going to have to monitor that situation as the week goes on. If Gardner Minshew does start, personally, I don't think I would feel comfortable playing Minshew in cash just because of the lack of receiving options that the Eagles have. I mean, we just saw last week against the Giants. Like, there's really nobody reliable outside of Goddard and Devontae Smith there, so I think he would be pretty thin even at min price. And then you combine that with the fact that he's just not good. So I think that would be a pretty easy fade for me personally. So some of the other guys that you mentioned, Herbert, Burrow, Lamar, I think they're all fine. Lamar is obviously going to project well, so I wouldn't mind playing him. I think right now you're probably in the range of either playing Burrow, Herbert, Hurts, or Brady, I think, in cash is where I would go. I think my lean right now would be Herbert at 6,700. I think his floor and ceiling is a little bit better than Joe Burrow's. I don't think Austin Eckler is going to do enough to hurt Herbert, whereas I think Joe Mixon can do enough to limit Burrow's upside and ceiling. So my lean there would be Herbert for sure for $400 more. But preferably, I want to get to Hurts if he's fine.
Yeah, that's a situation to monitor. Hurts is at practice on Wednesday, so we can definitely see how that progresses throughout the week and keep a tab on that. I mean, I think that this is definitely a good spot for both Herbert and Burrow. I think that this game has a lot of shootout potential in it. But I think you make a good point as well. Joe Burrow just has had a lot of low floor games. I mean, over the last 3 weeks, 17, 10, 9. So, you know, that's not great. And especially going up against teams that aren't great. Like, you know, he put up 10 points against the Raiders, and that's because Joe Mixon snapped and took all the scoring opportunities. So we could definitely see that happen. I think Joe Burrow's box score would have looked a little bit different last week if, you know, the Steelers offense was able to put any pressure on them. They obviously just stopped airing it out at a certain point when the game was well in hand. I mean, Burrow was on pace to smash early and just, you know, kind of petered out because Big Ben is inept. So that's unfortunate for Burrow, but he is priced at 6,300, which could give us savings if we are finding our way up to Jonathan Taylor. Any interest in Stafford this week with Daryl Henderson out and potentially a more pass-happy approach for the Rams? They're right behind Tampa Bay with the top implied team totals of the week.
Yeah, I definitely love Stafford this week. It's a smash spot for the Rams passing offense, most likely without Daryl Henderson. I mean, we've talked about it before, but Sony Michel is just horrible. Like,
right.
God-awful. And
dog water.
Yeah. Stafford at home against a Jacksonville pass defense where their pass defense is worse than their rush defense. It's a smash spot for Stafford. I would play him in cash as well. I definitely think he's viable, and I think the Rams stack is one of the best stacks on the week. Go figure. I mean, it's the Rams. They're gonna throw the ball at one of the highest rates, and they just lost their starting running back. Like, it's a complete smash spot for Stafford. I think I would prefer him over Brady and Lamar, and I probably prefer him to Herbert too.
Definitely a situation to monitor. We'll see how clutch that, you know, $600 price difference between him and Herbert is as the week develops. At wide receiver, they lowered Cooper Kupp's price $600, brought him back to $9,000 where he's reasonable. Do you think that Cooper Kupp is a priority this week going up against Jacksonville in that same matchup we were just discussing?
Yeah, I mean, he's a great play this week. He's a great play every week, can break a slate at any given moment. I think right now, with the amount of running backs in play, especially at the top of the pool, that I think are going to project a little bit better, I think it's kind of hard to get to Cooper Kupp in cash, especially when you can get similar target shares for like $2,500 less in the mid-range. But I would never fault anybody for playing Cooper Kupp. You know, he's a great play. I personally just don't think it's necessary, and I don't think you can get there this week.
Yeah, it's probably a play that we would only make if Minshew came available, I think, because if we're paying $9,000 for somebody, it's got to be JT this week. In the mid-range, sort of the same conversation we had last week where we're comparing Deontay Johnson and Chris Godwin, although this week their prices have flipped and Deontay Johnson is more expensive than Godwin. Deontay is $6,800, Godwin is $6,600, and I guess we have to figure out, do we prioritize a higher target projection in Deontay or, you know, the ceiling that Godwin offers in a much better matchup in a much better offense?
Yeah, it's tricky for sure. $200 isn't much. And obviously Deontay is going to go for 10 plus targets easy, but the offensive environment is significantly worse. The Steelers have a 20 implied team total right now. The Bucks have the highest on the slate at 30.75. So a touchdown and a field goal more for the Bucks. And Chris Godwin's ceiling, I think, is a little bit higher, while his floor is a little bit lower. If I had to pick one for cash, I think I would prefer Chris Godwin just because of the offensive environment. He's attached to one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and like I said, the floor and ceiling is a little bit higher with Godwin than Deontay Johnson, but Deontay Johnson is a pretty great play this week, $6,800. So I mean, it's close for sure.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson's targets are just crazy. 13 or more in 5 out of his last 6. I mean, I think that this is going to be one of the main conversations on the slate is whether or not you pay up to JT, because if you don't go up to Jonathan Taylor and say you play Gibson, Mitchell, and Madison as your most expensive running back, I think that there's a build where you can play both Deontay and Godwin. So that's something we're going to have to figure out in terms of where we're prioritizing our salary and how that projects as things progress throughout the week. There is, however, some value a little bit lower in the player pool. Michael Pittman Jr. is $5,700, got a $100 price increase. He is in a good matchup against Houston. We have Darnell Mooney at $5,600 at home, potentially without Allen Robinson. Again, we'll have to see about that. And then Brandon Ayuk, I think, is interesting at $5,600. Just got a slight price bump, but with Debo Samuel out, should see a larger share of the targets in that offense.
Yeah, I definitely like Ayuk this week with no Debo for sure. And, you know, you mentioned Mooney. He's a pretty solid play. That game could get sped up if Kyler Murray comes back, and the Bears will probably be trailing, which would obviously be beneficial for Mooney. So we'll have to wait and see if Kyler comes back. And then this range of like Pittman, T. Higgins, Cooks, I think is interesting. And, you know, if you do play Deontay and Godwin, you're probably choosing one out of these three guys for your third wide receiver spot. And my lean would be Pittman. He's the cheapest of the bunch, 5,700. And he's going to project very well going up against Houston. I mean, everybody's going to project well against Houston. So I think it's a very good spot for him, and he's a great play this week. So in terms of the mid-range, I would probably rank it Pittman, Ayuk, and then Mooney, and then Brandon Cooks would be my fourth. But there's definitely a lot of good plays this week in this range.
Yeah, I don't know about Pittman. I'm just legitimately concerned about blowout risk in this game. And he's had multiple games this season where he's getting, you know, five targets, six targets, seven targets, three targets, like stuff like that. So I don't know. He had three targets the last time these two teams played in week six, and that was a Jonathan Taylor blowout spot. So I don't know about Pittman this week. He's definitely a fine play. He definitely could smash. I would love to play him as leverage in tournaments off of JT, depending on what his ownership comes in at. I like Mooney a lot, I'm not gonna lie, but we just have to really wait and see about what Arizona's skill position players look like, whether or not Justin Fields is back. So that's kind of early in the week to really have a strong take on Mooney. And Ayuk stands out a lot to me. I mean, he should just dominate this week without Debo Samuel in there. Below this, like at the bottom of the barrel, is there anybody that's interesting to you? I mean, I'm personally out on Laviska Shenault. We talked about it on the last podcast. I give up on Visca. No interest there for me. Josh Reynolds, I guess, is a little bit interesting this week at 3,400. He is like the de facto Lions wide receiver one. I don't know. Any interest in anybody like that below 5K?
I mean, not really. Wide receiver value is very thin every single week. There's not many guys I would feel comfortable going to. I think Laviska, if you want, is fine. I know some big cash game guys, you know, in the DFS industry played Laviska last week. He's the same price, 4,400, had nine targets, his third highest target game of the season. So if you want, I think it's okay. I personally wouldn't go there. And then Josh Reynolds would be the only, you know, punt wide receiver I would consider this week, 3,400. And like you said, he is the de facto wide receiver one in the Lions offense, and he has chemistry with Jared Goff, but it is very thin for cash. I really don't think you have to do that with the value that we have at running back and tight end this week.
Only betas play Laviska Shenault. Alphas play Laquan Treadwell at 3,200. The real Jaguars wide receiver too. Eight targets last week, 3,200. Laquan Treadwell, you playing him?
Absolutely not.
All right. I didn't think so. At the tight end position, thank God, Joey, we have some stone punts. You know, last week was so uncomfortable having to play those guys. 3,800 Evan Engram, 4K Dan Arnold. It was disgusting, but no. This week, we are back in the range we belong in, sub 3K, and we've got two guys, actually, that are viable this week. Foster Moreau with Darren Waller out in this game at 2,700, and for $100 less, we have O'Shaughnessy for the Jags, who I also think is interesting. Dan Arnold is out as well.
Yeah, I think this week is a classic punt tight end week. If you pay up over 2,700 in cash, please send me a head-to-head for any amount. And it doesn't get much easier than this. Like, these are the weeks that we love. Foster Moreau is the stone lock on DK. He's 2,700. Darren Waller's going to be out. He's a pass-catching tight end at home against a defense that has been playing better. So they're not the pass funnel that they were early in the season. But they are still giving up, you know, 266 yards per game, which is third worst in the NFL. A lot of that is boosted from early season. But Moreau, 2,700, stone lock, and I'm not playing a Jags player in cash. So O'Shaughnessy is 2,600, so 100 less, and he's going to project decently, but Moreau is going to project better with a better offense and a better spot for 100 more. So give me Moreau at 2,700.
Yep, no, I totally agree with you. Just looking at it, I mean, he's at home.
Yeah.
The Raiders have a really good implied team total, 26, whereas the Jags are at like 17.25. They have the worst implied team total on the slate. So Moreau is the clear-cut lean there and should be featured in the offense without Darren Waller.
Yep. That's it for cash. Don't need to discuss anybody else. Yeah,
I mean, there's literally nobody else we need to discuss. In terms of tournament strategy, leverage, stacks, and long shots, how do you plan to get leverage on the field this week?
So I think one of the better ways to get leverage on the field is to pivot off of some of these chalky, high-owned running backs especially like Elijah Mitchell, Antonio Gibson, and Alexander Mattison. I think there are some great pivots in each of those ranges that you can go to in GPPs. Like David Montgomery is 100 less than Antonio Gibson. I think he's going to project pretty solidly. James Conner is 100 less than Eli Mitchell, and he's projecting very well right now. And then you have James Robinson, Saquon is up there. And then at the top of the pool off of Madison, you know, we talked about Mixon, who is going to be in a smash spot against the Chargers. And then you got Eckler, who nobody plays, and Leonard Fournette, who we didn't even mention.
Yeah.
7,300 at Tampa Bay is going to have no ownership. So I definitely like making a pivot or two to some of those running backs that are going to project for lower ownership this week.
Definitely. I mean, I think the two best ways to get leverage this week are by A, flipping the build and playing a couple of high price wide receivers, because I think all of the ownership is going to more so be on the running backs like the JT, Madison, Mixon tier. So, you know, going up to Cooper Kupp, getting up to Justin Jefferson as leverage off of Madison, I think is good. Jamar Chase as leverage off of Joe Mixon, I think is good. And really that pass game in general. I mean, that's I'll get to that in stacks. But yeah, like you said, like ownership is going to consolidate so heavily on these guys that we mentioned in the chalk segment that, you know, just going to like Austin Eckler right in between Taylor and Mixon could be like huge leverage. And Leonard Fournette, you know, I mean, it's going to be a big Chris Godwin week in terms of ownership again. And like, we literally saw this smash last week. Like, yeah, it's probably not going to happen where Leonard Fournette scores four touchdowns again, but he doesn't need to. I mean, if he has a big game, even a lesser big game, it does take away from all the other pass catchers. He's 7,300 and should get completely overlooked just because everybody's going to want to play Madison or the cheaper guys. So yeah, I think there's some clear cut leverage spots to target this week. And I think ownership is going to really be consolidated this week. So it's going to be very easy to pick and choose the spots where you want to get off of the chalk and make some leverage plays.
Yeah. And I definitely think wide receiver is the more ideal spot to do that, to get off the chalk, especially if you got like Chris Godwin, Deontay Johnson as some of the chalkier options. And then the guys in the mid range that we talked about, Mooney, Ayuk, Pittman, Brandon Cooks. I think there are a lot of good leverage pivots at the wide receiver position. Like you mentioned, Justin Jefferson. Leverage off of Alexander Mattison, who I think is probably going to be the highest owned running back on the slate. And then, you know, you got the Washington wide receivers like Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas, who's 4K. You could play them as leverage off of Antonio Gibson chalk and play the Washington passing offense, kind of like Terry McLaurin and Logan Thomas this week. So definitely some good ways to get leverages to just play the passing games of the running backs that are chalky. Yep. and fade the running backs. A lot of these passing games have high priced wide receivers. So like that goes into your point of kind of like flipping the build as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, like Carson Wentz to Michael Pittman off of the JT chalk and so on and so forth with all the guys that we've mentioned. In terms of stacks, I mean, I don't know about you. This could be a week where, you know, we just do what we've been doing all year. Stack the Bucks, stack the Rams, sail to the money. I think that's very viable. But I'd be lying if I didn't say I had a lot of interest in this Bengals-Chargers game. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. I mean, it's just it's a recipe for success. And it's tied with the Bucks game for the highest total on the slate. I'm really interested in stacking that game. And I think that you can do it in some interesting ways. Like Mike Williams is again priced at 5,700. I don't expect him to have too much ownership. Keenan Allen is priced in a range where I don't think his ownership gets out of control at 7,500. Jamar Chase is coming off of several disappointing weeks in a row, should get overlooked. And we know that he has one of the highest ceilings on the slate at the position.
Yeah, I definitely think this game is interesting. And I think it is going to be one of the best value games from a GPP perspective when you consider salary and ownership, because I definitely think like T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, Mike Will, even Keenan Allen are probably all going to go under-owned this week. So it definitely makes for an interesting game stack for sure, with two of the more pass-heavy offenses over the last month or so of the season. It is a pretty good spot for both of these teams, and it's going to be an interesting game to target in GPPs. But yeah, for stacks, I mean, other than that, sometimes DFS isn't hard, right? The Matt Stafford double is probably the best double on the slate this week.
Yeah.
And then I think Tom Brady's number two. The Tom Brady double.
Easy game.
Literally.
Easy game.
Literal easy game. And, all right, and then you got the cheap running backs, so you can afford to get Cooper Kupp and, you know, Odell or Van Jefferson, whatever is more your flavor. Odell is 55, Van Jefferson is 53. I kind of prefer Van this week because Odell is dealing with a hip pointer, which it looked like it was limiting him a little bit, but he still played a lot against Green Bay. And then you got Mike Evans, who's going to come with no ownership per usual. And he is $100 more than Chris Godwin. So you got some interesting doubles right there.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. Do you have a long shot for the people this week?
Yeah. So for this week, as my long shot bet, I would say Van Jefferson, but I don't know if he's going to be like considered a long shot. I don't know. What would you think his ownership would come in at 5,300?
I mean, I can't see it getting too steamed, to be honest, just because of all the guys we talked about that are going to be in cash consideration, I think are all going to be higher owned. I would expect Van Jefferson to probably be like, I mean, 10% is probably his ceiling.
Yeah. So I think my guy would be Van Jefferson. And then at the tight end position, I'll mark it down. You know what they call me, right? The tight end whisperer.
I've heard
self-anointed. Tyler Higbee, blow up game incoming.
Ooh.
3,800. I called it once last season, and he had his best game of the season. So I'm using my Tyler Higbee card in week 13. Tyler Higbee, 3,800. Blow up game incoming. Pairs well with Stafford as well, especially if you play like Cooper Kupp. He's the salary saver. Knocks out the tight end spot. Book it.
I like that. I like that. Speaking of the tight end position, what do you think about Logan Thomas this week at 4K? He looks pretty decent. Supposed to be on a tight snap count and ended up playing 66 snaps on offense.
Yeah, I think Logan Thomas is a very good play this week. 4K, so he's not too expensive. I think Goddard is the highest I would go this week because I just hate paying above 5K for a position that just isn't going to hurt you if you get like 8 points at it. So Goddard is the highest I would go, but Logan Thomas is definitely, definitely interesting. And what I think could be a sneaky high-scoring game.
No, I agree with that. For my long shot, I'm going to give a stack out here, two players that I don't think are going to get utilized by the field at all. And that is the return stack of Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins.
No shot.
Kyler is 7,500. He's priced up, so I don't think anybody's going to play him. But I mean, God, dude, the Cardinals are sitting here with a 27 implied team total. It's already risen over 3 points since open. Obviously, these guys are expected to be back. DeAndre Hopkins back at practice on Wednesday. Kyler back at practice on Wednesday. And DeAndre Hopkins is priced all the way down at 6,200 in a plus matchup against Chicago. I don't know when we're going to get an opportunity like this again to play DeAndre Hopkins at 6,200. So, I mean, this is going to go completely underutilized by the field. You could bring it back with Darnell Mooney. And, I mean, I think you just lock it in and sail to the money, low-key.
I mean, his price tag stood out to me when I was first looking at the slate, for sure. But I think there is a good chance that he could be on a snap count, you know, coming off of this month-long hamstring injury that he's had, kind of ease him back in. I think Kyler is good enough to go, and he's 7,500, and we didn't really talk about him at all. I don't know, man. I just think that Kyler's rushing upside just isn't gonna be there, especially coming off of this ankle injury. So when you compare him to like Stafford, Lamar, Brady, I prefer all three of those guys over Kyler Murray, just from a floor and ceiling perspective, to be honest. Personally,
yeah, maybe Murray's a little thin, but what about Hopkins as sort of a one-off?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Because I think he's cheap enough to where if he plays like 50% of the snaps and gets like 6 or 7 targets, he can still pay off that price tag. You know, at least he's not like 7,700.
Yeah.
6,200, if he gets you 20 points, which I think he could easily do if he plays like 50% of the snaps, would be good enough to win you a GPP. So I would be more interested in just one-offing like James Conner, DeAndre Hopkins in this game instead of stacking the Arizona side of the ball. Kind of the same thing with the Bears as well. I kind of like David Montgomery as a one-off or Darnell Mooney as a one-off as well this week.
Yeah, I think both of those definitely make sense as well. All right, let's close out the show with our best bets of the week. Low-key got slaughtered last week, went 1-for-4 between us. Let's get back on the winning train here.
All right, I have a stone lock bet. Stone lock. All right. The Detroit Lions play the Minnesota Vikings, correct?
Indeed, they do.
In Detroit. First ever time I'm going to take an over-under. The total is 46.5 live right now. Under 46.5 in this game. Stone lock. If it doesn't hit, I don't know. I'll give up my firstborn child.
Why? You don't think that points are going to be scored in this game?
I think that it's a second matchup between these two teams, which we know historically are lower scoring games, right? Divisional game.
Mm-hmm.
And the new trend that I found is those divisional games after week 10. So like when it starts to get cold out, you know, their bodies are kind of worn down. The unders hit at a historic rate. Give me under 46.5 in the Lions and Vikings game this week. That is a stone lock.
Okay. All right. You're just going to give the people one this time? The stonest, coldest lock of the week.
Yeah. And then for my second bet, I think I would take the Dolphins at home -5 against a Mike Glennon-led Giants offense with a lot of turmoil happening in New York. So
yeah, I like that one as well. Dolphins to stack another win here. They've been on a nice win streak. Although I will note that Daniel Jones practiced today and has not yet officially been ruled out. So there is a chance that Danny Dimes is out there. Not that that should really increase the odds of winning, to be honest with
Even
you.
Better, because that's going to move the spread back down.
True that. I mean, I'm going to just take a couple of heavy favorites because I think the Bucs can absolutely cover 11 against the Falcons. I know that's a pretty wide spread, but these big spreads, these heavy favorites tend to win and cover the spread at a decent rate. So, I mean, I like Tampa Bay to, you know, just trounce the Falcons. You know, Matt Ryan is an embarrassment at this point. Like, the Falcons offense is complete trash, and I think that their secret weapon, Cordero Patterson, is even going to have a little bit of trouble running in this game, unlike last week.
Well,
so,
did you see
that
Cordero Patterson is about to play safety now?
Bro, you think so he's CPAT gonna, picks off Brady this week?
Bro, if he picks off Brady, that's breaking the internet. No cap.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
If he picks off Brady, that would be peak football. 100%.
I would truly love to see that.
I wonder what the odds would be on that.
Probably like +10,000.
I would bet on it.
Me too. It's the kind of thing that you just love to see. I do hope we see that, but even still, I don't think that the Falcons are going to be within 11 points of this game. So give me the Bucks there, and I will also take another one over a touchdown favorite in the Colts. Colts -9 against Texans. Yeah, like the Texans might legitimately score like 3 points in this game. They actually had to cancel practice today because a handful of players were not feeling well. Not sure if it's COVID or the flu or what, but I mean, you're telling me the Texans are going to be in a spot where they haven't been fully practiced all week. They've got a bunch of sick players, and Jonathan Taylor's coming to town to drop 200 on their heads. So yeah, I think the Colts are going to absolutely demolish the Texans this week. Give me Colts -9, Bucks -11.
Yeah, nah, the Colts are gonna smash Houston for sure. So I definitely like that bet.
Absolutely mollywop them. and that's going to be it, I think, for episode 184 of the DFS Dose podcast. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at the DFS Dose, as well as our personal Twitters. I'm at Ben Hover. Joey's at Joey Carrion DFS. For more Week 13 NFL DFS content, check out our YouTube channel at the DFS Dose, where we post multiple videos per week. We will be back this Saturday evening for the late night live stream to revisit the slate and give our updated thoughts as the week develops. To everybody listening out there, just know that we appreciate you, we value you. Until next time, let's stay accountable and keep it authentic. Vibes.